The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The Gospel reading is from St. Luke, chapter 24. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." It is tempting to think that an encounter with the risen Lord would solve lots of problems, remove all doubts, answer all questions, and calm all fears. "If someone were to rise from the dead, people would repent," says the rich man in one of Jesus' parables, to which the Lord replies that if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. An encounter with the risen Lord is not as simple or as straightforward as we would like it to be. And if it happens, we will need a Bible if we are to understand what we are experiencing. This is clear from the readings we hear today. The disciples are thrown into complete mental and emotional confusion by the appearance among them of the risen Lord. They are agitated and full of doubts, startled and frightened, torn between joy and disbelief. There's both continuity and discontinuity, so that in the same experience they both recognize him and fail to recognize him. "Look," he says, "and touch, hands and feet, flesh and bones, eating fish, it is I, not a ghost." But that physical proof of his risen glory is always only one part of the story. It is not any eye that can see this reality, and it is not any hand that can touch him. It is happening within faith, and that means a teacher is required to interpret and to explain the meaning of what they are experiencing. Jesus has a work of formation to do when he reveals himself after the resurrection. We have seen it earlier in Luke 24, on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus undertakes a work of teaching, opening the scriptures to them and opening their minds to the full meaning of the scriptures. "Did not our hearts burn within us?" they say later. The same thing happens here in the second part of Luke 24. It is not just a question of physical seeing and touching. He must speak to them again as a teacher, and use his risen presence to confirm his interpretation of the scriptures, just as he uses the scriptures to interpret his risen presence. "This is what I meant, he says, "when I taught you that everything written about me in the law, the prophets and the writings had to be fulfilled." The scriptures in their entirety are about him, fulfilled in this event of his suffering, death and resurrection. It is not just a question of opening their eyes to see a new kind of physical reality, the glorious resurrected body. It is also a question of opening their minds to understand the scriptures, to see the full meaning of the scriptures for the first time. So they become witnesses, people who can say not just, "I have seen him," but people who can say also, "I have come to see the meaning of his death." They can say, "I have come to understand the promise contained in the scriptures and its fulfillment in Jesus the Christ, the Holy One, the Just One, the Prince of Life." We see this apostolic preaching underway in today's first reading. The message of the resurrection cannot be told without reference to the God of the ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Everything needs to be seen in a new light. It is common enough to say that the resurrection casts a fresh light back on the ministry and teaching of Jesus. But what these readings today teach us is that the resurrection of Jesus casts a fresh light back on the whole story, right back to the very beginning, to the creation of the world, the calling of a people, the promise of salvation renewed across the centuries. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. The pattern of word and event is found also here then, at the very heart of the Christian experience, where we're asked to believe that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead. It is not just a crude event, but something happening in accordance with the scriptures. It is not just an interpretation of a text, as if Christianity were simply a kind of poetry, a work of literature and nothing more. This interpretation of the scriptures, this opening of our eyes and minds to the truths they contain, is based on the apostolic preaching, the witness of those who saw and heard, touched him and ate with him after he had risen from the dead. It is event and it is word already from the very beginning. The resurrection of Jesus is not just a piece of magic to dazzle and intrigue us, nor is it simply a revelation of what is to come at another time and in another place. Faith in the risen Lord transforms things here and now, this present body, these present relationships, my actions and dispositions. It is not just a question of waiting for some future illumination, but of new meaning, new light, and new possibilities for living where we are now and as we are now. The Lord is truly risen. Alleluia. Resurrection faith encourages us to rethink our past, reading it back in this new light of the resurrection. Resurrection faith calls us to repentance in the present, that we might open our minds to the truth being freshly revealed to us. Resurrection faith enables us to know God by keeping his commandments so that his love comes to perfection in us.